Okay. And so, Paul's validating he's defending his apostleship and his gospel for maturing. He was an apostle belonging to Jesus Christ. His gospel for maturing, it didn't come from man. It came in a revelation from Jesus Christ. And as we move on today, we're going to pick up in Galatians 2:11, where we have this interesting section that records Paul standing up to Peter. And so he stands up to Peter, and it's because Peter did something that wasn't in line with what had been revealed to Paul and what Paul taught, but it had also been revealed to Peter. And so Paul is going to stand up to Peter. He withstands him to his face, because what Peter was doing was influencing others to do the same thing that he was doing, withdrawing from Gentiles. And so his actions influenced others. And then if you follow that out, is that the Gentiles would be left to think that they were less of a Christian, that maybe they should be living by Jews. So you can see that this is something that Paul could not just let go. This wasn't a little thing this is something that had to be addressed. And so we're going to pick up in Galatians 2:11 today, and I'm just going to go down to verse 14. And so I think before I even start into it, we're going to have a scripture reading. Don't usually do that in the afternoon service, but today we will. And so we'll have a little scripture reading, and then we'll come back and take a look at this verse by verse, because there's a question. We don't have it. It's not real clear. When did Peter come to Antioch? Where does that fit into the Acts narrative? And so I want to take a look at a couple things, and I'll point out a couple things. I tend to give Peter the benefit of the doubt. I'll tell you right up front. I think that this incident that Paul is going to reference happened prior to the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. And so I'll explain a couple things. And so in doing that, I tend to give Peter and Barnabas the benefit of the doubt. You'll understand when we get there. So let me read in Galatians 2:11 on down to verse 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain ones came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew, and he separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with the King James reads, dissimulation, just their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, liveth after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And so we have some interesting things in here. We have, you've got fear, which can come from Satan. You also have some division, some cliques, which can come from the sin nature. So you have a couple of different spiritual enemies that could be involved here. And you also have something else that's kind of evident in this context, is something that's called peer pressure. And peer pressure can be real pressure, and we'll see that as we go through. And so as we come back to Galatians 2:11, let me just open with a word of prayer here, and we'll start. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for the opportunity again to be in your word and to be together. And we pray your blessing on this time together, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so Paul is going to stand up to Peter. And we see now when Peter had come to Antioch. Now, earlier in Galatians, Paul had used this adverb, epita. And he used it in 1:18, 1:21, and 2:1. That kind of identifies the specific sequence of things. Now, he doesn't use that here. So you can't just automatically assume that this is automatically or the next thing in sequence after the Jerusalem Council. It could be, but he doesn't specify that. And so when we read, now when Peter had come to Antioch, now this is Antioch on the Orontes in Syria. Remember in the Acts narrative, you have two Antiochs. You have Antioch, which would be in Syria, and then you have the Antioch that's in the Roman province of Galatia. And this would be the Antioch in Syria on the Orontes. When Peter had come to Antioch, Paul says he withstood him to his face. Well, where does that fit in? In Acts. And so I'm going to suggest two possibilities, and I've already told you where I'm going to fall on that. But if we go back to Acts chapter 14, now in Acts chapter 14, remember here, Paul and Barnabas had started on the first apostolic journey from Antioch in Syria. And so when we get to the end of Acts 14, they're coming back to the same place they started. And so let me pick up in you can see this is right towards the end of the third apostolic journey in verse 25, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from where they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And so this is the Antioch in Syria. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And so this is one possibility of when Peter could have come to Antioch. Now we're going to look at some of the Acts narrative in further detail. And so that's one possibility. Now, remember now, Acts 15 is the Jerusalem Council, and they went there, and remember we had James stand up, and he gave his decision on the matter, and they decided to write a letter to the Gentiles. And so towards the end of Acts 15, let's look at... You see what was repeated in the letter in Acts 15. Uh, 28 and 29. And in verse 30, and when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And so they returned back to Antioch after the Jerusalem Council with this letter in hand. And when they had gathered together the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which then, when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation or the exhortation. And so this is the other possibility, would be that Peter would come down during this time period at Antioch. And so in any case, we're going to consider these two. And Paul says, going back to Galatians 2:11, now when Peter had come to Antioch, he said, I withstood him to his face. He resisted, he opposed him. Paul wasn't subservient to Peter. He didn't derive his authority from the apostles in Jerusalem. Remember, he was an apostle by spiritual gifting. He was an apostle belonging to Jesus Christ. And he had received his gospel for present tense salvation, for maturing of Christians in a revelation from Jesus Christ. And so here we see that Paul is going to stand against Peter. He's going to resist him to his face. And now we see the reason for this as we continue on. He says, because he was to be blamed. And this word only occurs three times in the New Testament. The other two occurrences, we won't go there, but it's translated condemned in 1 John 3:20 and 3:21. You have two other occurrences of this word. It's the word kata and then gnosko. It's to literally to experientially know against. And so it has the idea to blame or condemn. He says it in a perfect. It's a perfect passive participle is how I would understand it here. And so because he was to be blamed, or if you wanted to draw out the perfect, he stood condemned. He stood condemned by his actions here. Now, I also believe that he stood condemned by his conscience as well. Because Peter had a vision, and Peter was shown that what God had cleansed, that Peter was not to count as common. And so he had some knowledge. Now remember, conscience is matching up with what you know, with what you do. And so he stood condemned, probably I would say, by both his actions and by his conscience. Now, Paul is going to stand up to Peter. He didn't go behind his back. He didn't work behind the scenes and try to gather support. I really appreciate Paul here. This is the way it should be done. And I believe that God used this in a positive way in regards to Peter. And that's how I understand it. And so because he stood condemned, and he goes on and he explains further in verse 12. He says, for, and then explanatory gar in the Greek, he's explaining. He says, for before certain ones came from James. Your New King James just says certain men. But Paul seems to have specific ones in mind. And so I don't know if these were guys from Jerusalem who continually came up north there through Antioch and Syria, but he's got specific individuals in mind, and he says, before certain ones came from James. Now this James is James, the Lord's half-brother. This James wasn't one of the disciples, by the way, during the Lord's earthly ministry. This is James, the Lord's half-brother, though. This is also the author of the Epistle of James. This is the James that we have in Acts 15 as one of the pillars of the church, one of the prominent ones of the church in Jerusalem. He is the one who stood up and kind of took the lead and gave his decision to make these recommendations to the Gentiles. And so before certain ones came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. Peter would eat together. And so in the Greek, it's an imperfect verb, which just indicates that this is something that he did customarily or regularly. And so he would customarily or regularly eat associated with the Gentiles. Now, as I had mentioned, Peter had seen a vision before he came to Antioch. And so let's go back to Acts 10 and take a look at this. And this really becomes important in really encouraging Peter to go unto the house of Cornelius. And so in Acts 10, and we're going to pick up, let's see, in 10:10. Okay, in 10:9, and on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew near unto the city, Peter went up and upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him. And as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and he let down to earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In other words, he was a good Jew. He ate kosher. And he says, or it says in verse 15, And the voice spoke unto him again the second time, What God has cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, if we go on here, it says, Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And so let me just go ahead and skip up here to verse 20. We're just going to grab some highlights. Well, let's see. No, verse 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And so, we're going to kind of skip forward, but if we skip all the way over to verse 28, we see Peter then before the group of Gentiles at Cornelius's house. And so in verse 28, and he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And if we continue to go on down here, Peter is going to preach to them the word concerning the Lord. Now let's just move on down to verse 44, and we'll see, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them all, or on all of them, which heard the word. And just the ones hearing the word with the discernment. And they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, here we can see that God gave Peter a vision. Peter responded. Now we have Gentiles that are being cleansed and saved, be given the Holy Spirit. And if we take this up to Acts 11, let's just read Acts 11, 2 and 3. Peter's going to go back to Jerusalem now with this information. Look at what God is doing. And so, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, they contended with him. They disputed with him. I mean, Peter is giving facts, but they're saying, they must be saying, you must not be seeing things right. This can't be right. Saying, and then we see what they're saying. You went to men uncircumcised and did eat with them? And so you can see that they're going to have a problem even right at the get-go, right from the get-go. Now it's interesting when Peter explains to them, he's going to give them the full story about the vision and how he did what he was told to do and how the Holy Spirit fell on them, the Gentiles, just like it did on the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Now in verse 17, Peter's almost apologetic to these Jews. He says, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?" It's kind of fascinating when you think about it. It gives you a little bit of a glimpse into the Jewish mind being brought up under the law and how they were to separate themselves. And so when we come back to our Galatians 2:12, Paul explains, "For before certain ones came from James," this would be from the church in Jerusalem, from Judea, "Peter would eat together associated with the Gentiles." And this was something that he regularly or customarily did. Then he goes in and he says, "But when they came, these certain ones from James, he withdrew and he separated himself." And this word for withdrew, it has the idea to shrink back, to draw back. He shrunk back and he separated himself. And both of them are the imperfect, which kind of leaves it open to think that, you know, this may have happened on numerous occasions. Each time, this might have been a customary practice that when certain Jews came from, they say from James, that he would shrink back and separate himself. Now we see the motivation for him doing this is in the last clause. He uses the present participle, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Remember, they were already contending with him right from the get-go when he told them what happened, how he had been given the vision and how he went unto him. They were contending, they were disputing with him about the facts. And so we see him fearing those, though. Now, I'm not going to do some of these. We're not going to take and develop these words, but yeah, hupostello, he withdrew, he shrunk back, and aphorizo, separated himself. And so when these came, these certain ones from James, he shrunk back from eating with the Gentiles and associating with them, he separated himself from the Gentiles. And he did this because he feared those of the circumcision. And so now as we continue on in verse 13, we see the effect of Peter's actions, his actions upon the other Jews that were present. And so in verse 13, it just says, "And the rest of the Jews also," in the New King James it says, "And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him." And this is a hapox, meaning this Greek word only occurs one time in the Greek New Testament. And let's see, your King James says they dissembled likewise with him. They dissembled. But it has the idea to join in the hypocrisy, to pretend together, to join in and playing a part. And so here we see the effect of Peter's shrinking back and separating himself when these of the circumcision came from James is that the rest of the Jews also act the part. They acted like, well, yeah, we of course we're Jews. We don't associate with that which and from their perspective, God counts to be common. We're good Jews. So the rest of the Jews also go along and playing this part. They play the hypocrite. It's like they're in a play. It's like they're acting. They're not showing who they really are, but they're acting in a play. They're actors in a play for the sake of these Jews coming down from Jerusalem. And then he even adds, which is kind of interesting, and that's why I say I even give Barnabas the benefit of the doubt. It says, so that Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. He just was led intimately together with, away with, it's a soon apo ago, soon ap ago is the word, but even Barnabas, he was carried away with their hypocrisy. So now let's put this in a little bit of perspective. Let's just remind ourselves of Barnabas. Now, let's go back to Acts 11. And let me pick up in Acts 11, 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch. So this would be our Antioch in Syria. Preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Now in verse 20, but some of them were men of Cyprus and of Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now let's go ahead and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth our Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace from God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, Agathos man, and full from the Holy Spirit and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And so we have Barnabas being introduced to the church at Antioch. And we can see that Barnabas was instrumental in bringing Saul back to Antioch. In verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. So Barnabas is the one who brings Saul, back to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were stylized or called, I would just stylize Christians first at Antioch. This is the Antioch on the Orontes River in Syria. Now, let's skip forward here, if we could. If we go to Acts 13:2, this is the start of the beginning of the first so-called apostolic journey. And so in Acts 13:2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Well, that is going to be the first apostolic journey, which we have recorded in Acts 13 and Acts 14. That's Saul and Barnabas. So remember now when we get to when they get back from their first apostolic journey at the end of Acts 14, then in Acts 14:27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, Paul and Barnabas, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. And we'll come back. This is where I'm going to suggest that Peter came. Because now remember what's going to happen that's going to cause Paul to maybe have a little bit of doubt and think, well, maybe we better go up to Jerusalem. And so let's just read Acts 15, 1 and 2 here. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. Now, if you remember, this is what we suggested correlates or matches up with Galatians 2. Galatians 2:1. And following, where you have Paul and Barnabas and Titus there is with them. And so they go up to the Jerusalem council. But as I leave Galatians 2:13, we see the effects of Peter's actions upon the Gentiles of separating himself and shrinking back from eating with the Gentiles when these other Jews from the Jerusalem church showed up, is that the other Jews in the church, they played the part. They participated in the hypocrisy. They all acted like it was a big play. And even Barnabas went along with this hypocrisy. And so that's interesting that Paul adds Barnabas into that. Now let's let's go to Galatians 2:14. And Paul is furthering his explanation. He says, but when I saw, and he says, when I saw with discernment, this is a ra'o in the Greek, when I saw with discernment that they were not straightforward. In other words, they did not walk straight. This is where we, by the way, get our word for orthopedic, I won't try and pronounce that right now. And so Paul says, when I saw that they did not walk straight about the truth of the gospel, and it's just literally facing, it's pros, they did not walk straight facing the truth of the gospel. Now, the truth of the gospel here, we could take this potentially as oppositionally, the truth, but the truth of the gospel, if you remember in Galatians 2:5, Paul said that he did not yield to the false brethren who had slipped in the back door to spy out Christian liberty. He didn't yield by subjecting himself to these false brethren, not even for a little time. And the reason he said he did that is so that the truth of the gospel might remain with them, continue to remain with them. Do you remember that? Galatians 2:5? Let's read that. I'm talking about these false brethren who slipped in unaware, and they came in with the purpose to spy out Christian liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That's all in Galatians 2:4. And Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. He says, we didn't yield to them by being put into subjection to them, not even for a little time. He says that, or in order that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, Paul has already talked about the gospel for maturing in Galatians 1. In Galatians 1, see, he said, "I marvel that you were so soon removed from him that calls you by the grace of Christ unto another gospel," just unto a different gospel. He says, "which is not another of the same kind." He says, "but there are some and would trouble you and would," or are wishing or desiring, "to pervert the gospel concerning the Christ." And verse 11 is where we find out this, that the gospel that Paul taught for Christian maturing was one that didn't come from man. And so in Galatians 1:11, he says, "But I certify, I make experientially known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man." It's not according to or measured by man. He says, "For I neither received it, of man, neither was I taught it, but through a revelation from Jesus Christ." And so that's how we received it. Now, when we go back into the first apostolic journey, when Paul and Barnabas went through those cities in the province of Galatia, we can see that right from very early on, before the Jerusalem Council, Paul was teaching that justification was not by law. Let's go back into Acts 13, and let's go back to Acts 13:38. Now, this is Paul and Barnabas. This is during the first apostolic journey. This is before they returned to Antioch in Syria. This would be the other Antioch, I believe, they're in here in this particular context. That's up in the Roman province Galatia, Antioch in the region of Pisidia. And in, let me just read verses 37 through 39. "But he," talking about Christ, "whom the God raised again, saw no corruption or decay. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is announced unto you the forgiveness of sins. And in him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." And so that's early on. This is the first apostolic journey here. In verse 44 and 40 through 46, and I'm still in Acts 13, let's take a look here at a couple of things. He says, "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." And so in Acts 13, 44. Just continuing the narrative a little further, he says, "And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with zeal." King James says envy. It's just our word for zeal, a work of the flesh. "And spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Justification apart from the law was not something that was easily accepted by most Jews. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should have been spoken first to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And so that's there in verse 46. And so that was during the first apostolic journey. And so it's after this journey, I believe, when Paul and Barnabas end up back in Antioch, Peter comes down from Jerusalem. But then when these certain ones from James come down, he shrinks back and separates himself from the Gentiles. And so Paul says, when he saw with discernment that they were not walking straight, facing the truth of the gospel, how to live in the justification that was provided by the grace of God through the cross work of Christ. He said, I said to Peter before them all. And so then we have a quote of exactly what he said. He says, if you, being a Jew, living in the manner, living in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, he says, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? And so here are, and so Peter was not trying to keep the Mosaic law. He had been shown in a vision. He had knowledge that he was justified by the cross work of his Savior, and that God had cleansed the Gentiles. There was no problem with Peter in what he was doing and customarily eating associated with the Gentiles. And so he says, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? And the word compel is the idea to pressure, to force. Because what Peter was, in essence, what he was doing when he separated himself from the Gentiles, when the certain ones came down from James, is he was saying, well, I have to separate from you because you're Gentiles. You're not, we're not on the same level. And so if Gentiles and Jews are not on the same level, the Gentiles would be compelled then to live like a Jew, to be circumcised and live by the Mosaic law. And the word, as I mentioned, he says, why do you compel the Gentiles? It's why do you pressure? And this is the example of peer pressure. Here's your example right here. And so this word occurs 9 times, by the way, in the New Testament. And three of the occurrences of this word we do find in Galatians. That's being translated compel here. I'm not sure. Your New American Standard also translates it compel. This is the same word we had in Galatians 2:3 used of Titus. Titus, who was with me, Paul said, being a Greek, he was not compelled to be circumcised. He was not pressured by some of the things, the arguments that may have been presented before him. And so he wasn't pressured at the time at the Jerusalem Council. He wasn't pressured or forced to be circumcised or to live as a Jew. Now, when we come here, if we understand this to be, and I didn't go and grab some of the details, I'm not going to go back and do it now, but let me just state this, is I do believe that this time that this is referencing, that when Peter had come to Antioch, it fits in the Acts narrative at the end of Acts 14. When Paul and Barnabas, they returned from their first apostolic journey, and they were there a long time, and I believe that Peter came down from Jerusalem, and then in Galatians 2:11 through 14, we have this incident where Paul had to stand up to Peter. And so we see what came out of this in Acts 15, because certain ones that came down from Judea, they were teaching the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, that is to, as a matter of keeping the law of Moses, you cannot be saved in present tense. In other words, the Gentiles need to live as Jews. And so that became the question for the Jerusalem Council. And so we already skipped forward, and we know that James made a decision, and they wrote a letter, and there was only a few recommendations to the Gentiles, because there's Jews in all of these cities, and they didn't want believers offending the Jews that might be saved, and so they sent the letter. But if we understand that this happened in Acts 14, I think it helps you to see, and it gives you an understanding of how God used this in Peter, because we have something that Peter said in the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15. And so that's what I want to read right now in Acts 15, 7. And so let's put this in context then. And let me read verses 5 and following in Acts 15. But there rose up certain ones of the sect of the Pharisees which believe, saying that it is needful to circumcise them. It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, a lot of disputing about this, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know or you understand how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's talking about the household of Cornelius that we looked at after the vision in Acts 10. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Remember what God said in that vision is what I have cleansed. Do not count as common. Now, therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? And so here he's disciples. These are believers. These are, I believe Peter is putting them on the same level with, he's putting Gentile believers and Jewish believers on the same level. They're disciples. He's not distinguishing between, he says, why put you a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor were we able to bear? And then he says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. It's really interesting how Peter says that. I think Peter here is starting to see the issue is it's not if the Gentiles should live by the law, it's should even the Jews live by the law. And I think here Peter is demonstrating that so it's through the grace though of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Talking about present tense. Even as they. And so I believe that it fits in nicely here. Because remember now, Barnabas is also with Paul at the Jerusalem Council. And so it's kind of interesting if we, it seems to fit better. In Acts 14. And like I said, I started to point out some of the reasons, but I mentioned the epita, the adverb that Paul uses in Galatians to show sequence. And he doesn't use that when he gets to this place in looking at this incident where Paul stood up to Peter. And so it seems to fit better, seems to give Peter the benefit of the doubt, and I think gives us an insight into what he said in the Jerusalem Council. And I think also with Barnabas, when Barnabas and Paul, when they're going to go back to Antioch in Syria. And I'll pick that up in Acts 15:30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the exhortation. The question had been answered with regard to the Gentiles. And as we know, though, the question regarding the Jews, that question seemed to continue on maybe a lot longer than it could have. Now, it's going to be in the end of Acts 15, of course, and you can see in verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word concerning the Lord with many others also. And then in some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And then this is where we pick up, and we're going to have a little bit of a split between Barnabas, or there is a split between Barnabas and Paul, and Paul's going to end up doing that and going back to those places with Silas then to deliver the decrees or the decisions of the Jerusalem Council. And so it ends up being Silas and Paul in the second apostolic journey. So anyway, it's very interesting when we come into Galatians and we see this example of Paul standing up to Peter. I don't think Paul did it for any other reason but to show that his apostolic authority was God-given. He was an apostle belonging to Jesus Christ. The message that he received came from Jesus Christ, and that his authority and his message did not come from man. He didn't derive those things from the apostles in Jerusalem as well. And so even when it came here, Paul recognized this early. And Peter got a little bit off track. And so I didn't emphasize this through here, but we see he was acting in fear. He was fearing those of the circumcision. But then by separating himself, he was involved in establishing some cliques and some divisions, and we could trace that back to the works of the flesh. And so Peter was temporarily carnal, but probably Paul standing up and confronting him about this got him back on track, and we see how he responded then at the Jerusalem Council. And so anyway, let's close here, and we'll see where we land next week. Father, thank you again for the day. We're thankful for the opportunity to be together, to be with your work, to be with your word, and we just pray that you'd continue to use us as useful instruments and to provide us opportunities to be growing and appreciating what you've accomplished and provided on behalf of our Savior. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.